I read in your hearing a little earlier, Philippians chapter number 2. I read verses 8 through 11. That's page 1653 in the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. 1653 in the New Testament. And I want to focus my sermon this morning on the 9th verse of that reading. I'm going to read it again. Notice this is chapter 2, verse 9. And the interesting thing about it is, last Sunday I tried to preach to you from chapter 2, verse 9, but then it was from the book of Hebrews. But this verse says, verse 9 of chapter 2, Philippians, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name. The title I've given my sermon today is simply two words, Jesus Exalted. Now I'll ask if you will go to the Lord in prayer with me again. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you in prayer. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, not just for the times when we're hurting and when we have needs, but Lord, also at other times that your name might be proclaimed and your Son be glorified and exalted. And that is my desire, and I believe the desire of your children who've gathered here today. We ask your blessings, Lord, to help us to worship you in spirit and truth. We need your Holy Spirit, Father. We ask you to bless your word to our hearts. Bless and give us understanding, I pray, that we can take it in our hearts, store it in our mind, and live it in our lives day by day. Bless each one here who could come. Suit your word, O Lord, to each and every heart. Make it a blessing to your children. Make it be those things that will comfort and strengthen our hearts for days or months or years to come, that somewhere along the journey of our life, we'll think back and remember these words about Jesus, and they'll cause us to glorify him and praise him again. So use us for your service today. Oh Lord, for your honor, praise, and glory, and help us to bless the name of Jesus, for you've given him a name above every name. Bless the sick, bless our nation amidst all its faults, failures, and deviations from your word, and many of your children in this country who need your blessings, and many who try to lead, who do not do so carelessly and of their own wills, but try to do so according to your word and your will. Bless them, Lord. Give them strength and grace for each day, and us here and now. We ask it in the name of Jesus, which is a name above every name, and amen. It's been an interesting thing for me to notice in the Word of God that the passage from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, talked about Jesus being made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he might have glory. I want you to think about that, if you would, just a minute. He was made lower than the angels because, as God, he couldn't die. The angels, if I understand my studies of the Word of God, the angels don't die. We needed somebody to die for our sins. It wouldn't have done a bit of good if I'd have died for yours or you'd have died for mine. We needed God to help us with that. And so God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, into the world to die. And that's why it has to be that he was a little lower than the angels. And yet, when you look at that, how he came in a body of flesh, lower than the angels where he could die. And then you look at this by comparison, you see that God has lifted him up and God has exalted him. Yes, he was lower than the angels so he could die for our sin. But God also, that word, had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I want to get to that in just a little while. Let's back up to the earlier verses that I read in your hearing, beginning at verse 5. The mindset of each of us, let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. And notice this, Jesus was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, when he lived and walked upon this earth in a body of flesh. And I will say, except for sin, a body of flesh like your body and mine, in that it could suffer, it could bleed, it could weary, it could die. And so he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, though he had a body of flesh. It says, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Isaiah prophesied of him as a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. That's how he became lower than the angels. He became as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about, that he was made a little lower than the angels so that he'd have a body to die for your sins and mine, and to bleed, because without blood there is no remission of sin. And then it brings us up to this fact, that he was highly exalted and given a name above every name. And then there's a colon there which connects it openly to the very next verses, that at the name of Jesus, and I shared this with you, I believe, last week, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here it says we should. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. But let me tell you, there are two other places in the Bible that says shall bow and shall confess. One in the Old Testament is in the Old Testament book of Isaiah 45, chapter 45 and verse 23. And in the New Testament, the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. And both of those passages, one in the Old and one in the New, all repeat to say to us that we shall bow and we shall confess. I don't know when that will occur. I tend to believe, but in my mortality I could misunderstand and be wrong, but I believe that when Jesus comes visibly again one day and every eye shall see him, I think those will be fulfilled. But you and I need to fulfill this one now, that we should bow and we should confess. And I don't believe that's a once in our lifetime thing to do. It is a duty that every day the Christian lives, that every week or month or year God's children pass in their journey of life. We ought to frequently bow before him and confess him before others and before God. Why should we bow before Jesus and God our Father? Why should we confess Jesus? Why? Here's the reason. Because God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, I want you to hold that in your mind. but I want to tell you something about the names of Jesus. When I began to look in the Bible and study about the names of Jesus, that his name's above every name, what I discovered was, or in some cases was reminded of, is that there are three principal names of Jesus. Number one, the most widely used name for the Son of God is the name Jesus. And he's called Jesus for a reason, and that is, that word means Savior. In fact, that's the name God gave to Jesus. Sent it by the angel to Joseph to explain the situation, because Joseph, whenever Mary was expecting a child, he didn't understand. He knew it wasn't his child, and he didn't know what to do about it. There were certain rules and regulations that came to his mind and his heart, and he didn't know just what to do. And God sent an angel to explain it to him, that which was conceived in her was by the Holy Ghost, and therefore it was going to be the Son of God that she would give birth to. And so he said, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And that's Matthew 1:21. So you see, the name Jesus is a principal name because he is our Savior. And think of all the multitudes, the innumerable number that no man could number, who have been saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by his shed blood and sacrificial death. And yet, with all of us, his name is above all our names. His name is above every name. That's the first predominant name. And I began to, out of curiosity, because I, like most of us, we have times when we're curious about things, want to know about something. And I began to say, well, I wonder how many times he's called Jesus. 942 times, almost 1,000 times in the New Testament. It was his principal name. The second most widely used name is the name Christ. And I discovered some interesting things about that. You know, as we live life, a lot of things we learn, we forget, but marvelous that we can rediscover them. The Old Testament prophesied of a Messiah. Only two places, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 25 and 26, chapter 9 in Daniel, it talked about the Messiah who was to come. Now, in the New Testament, we find out that name is spelled a little differently in the New Testament, because the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew and the New from the Greek. So there's a difference in spelling there through the translation of it all. And so in the New Testament, what was Messiah ending in an H in the Old Testament became Messias ending in an S in the New Testament. Two times in the Old Testament, two times in the New Testament, it's found as Messiah. John chapter 4 and verse 25 is one of those places. Jesus encounters the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, and he begins to talk to her about this water of life, that if you have it, you'll never thirst again. And then he talks to her about where to worship, because the Jews and Samaritans worshiped in different places in a little different way. As I understand it, the Samaritans believed in the books that Moses wrote, but not others. Whereas the Jews believed in all of the Old Testament, all the prophets and writers of the Old Testament. So there was a difference in their religion. And so she is talking to Jesus. And she makes an interesting statement, that 25th verse. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, now listen, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. In other words, the Messiah, Old Testament Messiahs, New Testament are synonymous with the name Christ. And that simply means God's anointed. That's what Messiah means. Christ is God's anointed, and that's what it's telling us. God has anointed him. And so, 571 times he's called Christ. Take quite a while to read all these. I'm not saying I read them all, but I found out how many there were. And then the third word is Lord. You ever call him Lord? I do often. He's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Three words, Lord Jesus Christ, are often found in the Bible. 106 times they're found together in the Bible, if I have counted correctly. And listen to some places where it's found. It's found to say, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 6:23. The Bible tells us in the very ending of the Word of God, the last statement made, the last verse of the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So it is, so it shall be. That's how the Bible closes. Those three names of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, all brought together in that little short verse about God's grace in our lives. See, all these are very important, very significant. So these words are found to help clarify our understanding about Jesus as being exalted above all, because he has a name which is above every name. I began to think then about the names in the Bible. There's some significant names in the Bible. One of my favorite names in the Bible that is very significant in my mind and way of thinking is the name Abraham. God made special covenant with him. He's going to be the father of a great nation. God carried him out, showed him all the stars in the sky. Can you count them, Abraham? Of course he couldn't. We can't today. Even with all the lights that light up the night skies. You know, when I grew up as a boy, I grew up in the country, and we didn't even have a security light. And even it was dark on dark nights in the country, it was dark. And we'd sometimes go out and do like Abraham, Father Abraham. We'd just look up at the stars. Now, when I started living in town, street lights and all that, you can see some stars, but not nearly as many. God said, can you number them? No, he couldn't. No way to number them. That's going to be your seed. I said, your seed will be without number. Abraham's a great man. No question about it, a great name. But the name of Jesus is greater than the name Abraham, and Jesus is greater than Abraham was. Abraham's the father of a nation by the blessings of God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought about all of that. Now I thought about some others in the New Testament. The apostles of our Lord. Well, think about, let me just remind you, the prophets in the Old Testament. Major prophets, most of us know them well. We've read from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Then there were a lot of minor prophets. I won't go into all their names. Prophets were great men of God. Then you come on to the New Testament, plurality of apostles of our Lord. We sometimes read where two or three would be together. Sometimes when all 12 were together, they were great men of God. But the name of Jesus is above the name of Abraham, above the name of all those great prophets of Old Testament time, above the apostles who the Lord called to walk with him on this journey we call life here in the world. Their name's great and important. The name of Jesus is above And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the great Apostle Paul, who wrote almost half the New Testament, as great a man as he was, he's kinder to me in the New Testament like Abraham in the Old Testament. Great, significant individuals. And yet, Paul, the name of Jesus is above the name of Paul. You see why? Abraham couldn't do it and Paul couldn't do it. None of the others could do it. And you and I can't do it. Be a savior of sinners. But Jesus was. That's why God exalted him. Yes, made lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, he had to die for our sin. But he died, he was buried, he rose victoriously again. And God highly exalted him and gave him a name, which is above every name. Now, when you studied history in school, you studied about some very important people. You studied about people who maybe made great discoveries, going exploring and opening up sections of the world that many people inhabit today, but once relatively uninhabited. There were people who made discoveries in the medical field of medicines and vaccines and things that have greatly reduced the number of deaths with certain diseases. There have been great kings that have lived, great presidents that have lived, and yet no matter who they are, no matter how wealthy, how noteworthy, how powerful they were, Jesus has a name above their name. And that's what we're being told here. Let me tell you some reasons the name of Jesus is so much greater than the others. Just simply a couple of them. Did you know that miracles have been done in the name of Jesus? That's right. Miracles have been done in the name of Jesus. I want to remind you one that I love. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, best I remember it, went to the temple to pray, and they went by way of that gate that is called Beautiful. And there, that gate, there was this man who was lame. He's crippled. Had been for a long, long time. They stopped and looked at him. I'm sure he was hopeful they'd give him some money. But they didn't. Now listen to me. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And that man rose to his feet and walked. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you could scream it till you lost your voice. My name would not heal anyone, nor yours. The name of Jesus could do that. Very name of Jesus. Did you know we also are to pray in his name? We are. In the Gospel of John 15, verse 16, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And he had chosen them that they might go forth and preach, be fruitful. And that was their job, to do that, to be fruitful. And he said that they were to pray to the Father in his name, that he may give to them those things they need. So they were to pray to the Father. It has, over the years, become a very important thing in my life, to the point that I noticed it. I don't mean to be just trying to be critical of people, but I notice it. Because when people pray and just say amen, and they don't pray in the name of Jesus, I notice that, because there are other places it talks about praying in his name. Jesus said to his disciples a number of times to pray in his name, that the Father might give them this blessing or that, whatever it was they were seeking. Because We are to pray in His name. Why? His name is above all other names, brothers and sisters. We're to pray in the name of Jesus. And this is not a pat on my back. I don't mean it in that way at all. But I've just, and probably it, maybe it isn't as it should be, because I might be too habited to doing it and doing it without proper thought. But I do believe it's important when we pray to pray and ask the Father all the blessings and pray in His name. Why? His name is above every name. But also, there's one other thing I want you to think about. Salvation. The name of Jesus. Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. The name of Jesus is a name above every name. He is the Savior. He is God's anointed. He is Lord, which means our Master. He is all of that and a lot more. He is our intercessor. We could just go through the Bible and pick out name after name that applies specifically to Jesus. Because God gave Him a name, exalted name, great name, above all names. You know, there's a principle in the Bible that I've noticed over the years, and it's two or three witnesses. Under the law, if a man was accused of murdering someone, you couldn't take his life on the basis of one man's testimony. I believe it's Deuteronomy 17, verse 2. God said, you've got to have two or three witnesses before he'll be declared guilty and put to death for that crime. The New Testament in the book of Acts reminds us, whenever they went out in their time of discipline of people who had done wrong in the church, and they'd go to talk with them and said that when you go, you know, you tell them now that what you're doing isn't right, not pleasing to God, then they won't listen to you. So you carry somebody with you that will be the mouth of your mouth and their mouth, the mouth of two or three witnesses to verify every word. And so that's the way it was done. I've already given you the first witness there in Philippians 2:9. But I want to give you two more before I close my sermon. John chapter 3, verse 31. If you'd like to turn there. Verse 30 and 31. John Gospel chapter 3, verses 30 and 31. And while you're turning to that, I'll tell you these are words that John the Baptist is his testimony about Jesus. Verse 30 says, John the Baptist said about Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the way it is for all us. Jesus ever increases, we decrease. Now here's the verse came after, verse 31. He that cometh from above, that's Jesus. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth, but he doesn't have a but there, said he speaketh of the earth is of the earth earthy. He that cometh from heaven is above all. That's John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus. Jesus is not only has a name above all, he's above all also. And the next one I'll share is Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. These are the words of the great apostle Paul under the inspiration of God, talking about the power of the Almighty, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. A little lower than the angel so he could die. when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen to this. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's pretty broad, isn't it? Principalities, that is, earthly powers. Notice similarity, prince, the son of a king. Prince has power on the earth simply by virtue of the fact his father is king. And so he has a power and authority, and he can command people to do certain things. But the name of Jesus, and Jesus has power over all earthly powers. Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Those are the two witnesses that I wanted you to get. And with Philippians 2:9, you have three witnesses, if you've marked them in your Bible, that his name is above all, and he is above all, and his power is above all. What a wonderful Savior we worship and believe in and hope in today. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, when you understand that, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, where he died for our sins. Then you understand that name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, my brothers and sisters, he's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of us declaring his glory. He is worthy of us bowing before him. He is worthy of all our worship and our praise. And we need to understand that about him. He's not just some poor Jew that lived approximately 2,000 years ago, walked the dusty roads of that area of the world, did a few miracles, called some men to follow him, was nailed to a Roman cross, and that was the end of it all. No, it wasn't. Never will be, because of what he did on the cross. We need in this day, our day, in our tomorrows, to exalt his name. And yes, to bow our knees before him in prayer and exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is above all. God help us as we do that. He'll be glorified and praised. The angels worship him and praise him. He's there at the right hand of God in heaven's glory. One day he's coming back. I don't know when, but he is. The Bible says so. He said so. But until he does, there will be children of God who have a hope in a risen Savior, who have a hope in his shed blood, who have a hope in his death, who have a hope in his resurrection, to believe that Christ paid it all, saved us from our sins, that heaven will be our waiting home when this life on earth is over. And he is above everyone, and his name above every name. Sometimes I hear people say things that's very kind of a slang, the way they use the name of Jesus. And I can't see in their heart. I can't see in their mind. So I don't know if they're using it, you know, in a vulgar way. That's their intention, to demean his name. Or if they're using his name because they love his name. I can't see that. But I'll tell you this. God our Father does. And Jesus knows. So when we use his name, let's be careful and respectful and honor and glorify him and exalt him and worship him in the days God gives us to live. May we pray. Father, thank you for the great declaration of your Son and the greatness of our Savior. We cannot possibly understand all we'd like to about him. But these passages, Lord, they do help us to know in our hearts he is above all and his name is above all because he's above all. So help us to live as though we know it and believe it for your glory and his is our prayer in Jesus' name.